Usually, when you think about a tuning fork, you have this expectation of like a simple linear purity.
Right, like a perfectly straight line of sound.
Exactly. You strike it, the metal tines hum, and that sound web just pushes straight out into the room. It's what we use to tune a piano or, test someone's hearing.
Yeah, standard acoustics.
But what happens when you alter the geometry? Like, what happens when you pit the natural three-prong, 120-degree tuning fork against an engineered four-prong, 90-degree tuning fork?
It changes everything.
It really does. Suddenly, that simple straight line of sound becomes the center of, well, a philosophical and physical showdown. Welcome back to the deep dive, by the way.
It's great to be here. And it really is a showdown between the organic and the structural.
For sure, because we've already explored a fascinating stack of documents with you all. We've talked about how the 120-degree trioral tuning fork creates 3D cymatic water
Oh,
fractals,
that was a wild one.
and how the human heart uses this exact geometry with its valves and even those theoretical silicon quantum antennas. But today, our mission is to zoom in on the ultimate showdown from our source text, triadic versus tetrionic iteration.
Which is essentially asking which of these geometries is the chicken and which is the egg of cosmic reality?
Right. So, okay, let's unpack this because we need to break down the physical mechanics of these two systems before we get into what they actually mean for human biology or technology or, the universe.
Yeah, we have to start with the shapes themselves.
Definitely. I want to start with the triadic setup. So, visualize a tuning fork, but instead of two prongs, it has three.
Right, and they're arranged in a perfect circle.
Exactly, spaced exactly 120 degrees apart. If you connect the dots at the top, you get an equilateral triangle.
And the crucial element to grasp there is the symmetry of odd numbers.
Okay, how so?
Well, with three prongs vibrating inward, the sound waves they produce are not colliding head-on. In physics, when waves meet at 120-degree angles, they don't cancel each other out in a straight line through, destructive interference.
So they don't hit a brick wall.
Exactly. Instead, they create a cascading phase shift. The energy is literally forced into motion. You get a center of rotation.
So instead of crashing, they start chasing each other.
Precisely that. This 120-degree symmetry constantly generates a swirling toroidal field.
A toroid. That's of like a donut shape, right?
Yeah, exactly like a donut. You see it in magnetic fields all the time. Energy flows in through the bottom, up through the center, and cascades out over the top in this continuous self-sustaining loop.
The geometry literally prevents stagnation.
It does. It forces circulation.
So imagine a whirlpool spinning in a river. It is constantly moving, drawing water into its current, recycling that flow without ever stopping. That is our three-prong system.
It represents the sacred chaos of life.
Right. Now let's look at the tetrionic setup, the four-prong tuning fork. If you arrange four tines in a circle, they are 90 degrees apart.
And if you connect those dots, you have a square or a cross.
Yeah. So how does the physics change there?
Oh, it changes entirely. Because you have an even number of prongs sitting directly opposite each other.
Ah, right.
So when those prongs vibrate, the energy waves travel toward the center and crash directly into each other. Equal and opposite forces meet.
Wow.
Yeah, they create a fixed static center, a standing wave, right where those 90-degree lines intersect.
It's an anchor. So if the three prong is a whirlpool, the four prong is like a set of crosshairs on a map.
That's a perfect analogy.
It is perfect for measuring things, pinning a specific location down, or, building a foundation.
Yeah.
But inherently, it is totally static.
Highly stable, but entirely static.
Exactly. I mean, take a second and look around the room you are in right now. You are likely looking at a rectangular screen, sitting in a room with 90-degree corners, maybe looking out a square window. We basically live our entire lives inside this tetrionic box.
We do, and we surround ourselves with that geometry because it provides physical structure.
Right.
It represents the classic four elements, the four cardinal directions. It's all about spatial orientation and creating a rigid framework.
But, and this is extremely interesting, to understand how profoundly different these two geometries behave when they're actually in motion, we have to look back at that cymatics document we analyzed previously.
Yes, the fluid dynamics experiment. That perfectly illustrates this.
Oh man, the slow motion video with the dark fluid. Let's detail how that worked for everyone because the visual evidence is just super
It
compelling.
really is. So they took a 120-degree trioral tuning fork,
The three-prong one.
right, plunged it into a dark liquid medium, and hit it with a frequency of 883 hertz. Then they filmed the surface at 240 frames per second under blue light.
Okay, and what happens with a normal fork versus this one?
Well, if you were to plunge a standard linear tuning fork or a four-prong fork into that water, the equal and opposite wave collisions would create a simple grid pattern on the surface.
Just a basic grid.
Yeah, you'd see a static checkerboard of standing waves. The water would find a rigid equilibrium.
Okay.
But because they use the 120-degree triadic geometry, the water behaved entirely differently. It was forced into a rotational phase.
I remember this. It formed these highly dynamic three-dimensional toroidal vortices. Like watching those little whirlpools open up in the fluid was wild.
And it didn't stop there. As the 883 hertz frequency resonated, those individual vortices began to self-organize.
Right. They shifted into perfect interlocking hexagonal grids.
Exactly. And from there, the wave patterns evolved into complex recursive fractals. The standing waves never settled into a static grid.
So the geometry of the instrument literally dictated the physics of the medium.
100%.
Right.
The fluid couldn't lock into a standstill even if it wanted to, because the 120-degree energy signature forced it into a living, rotating cycle.
That transition is just fascinating. So if the three-prong fork creates a literal rotating whirlpool in a simple bowl of water, what happens when you apply that same geometric whirlpool to biological systems?
Now we're talking about the energetic footprint of these geometries.
Exactly. Let's talk about that.
When you apply the three-prong tuning fork to an organic system, those overlapping frequencies we discussed, the ones creating that continuous toroidal field, they naturally resonate with the bioenergetic fields of living things.
Because life is always in motion.
Exactly. The source text actually mentions tuning the toroidal fork to 639 hertz.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That particular solfeggio frequency is heavily associated with harmonizing cellular processes and, in esoteric traditions, the heart chakra.
Okay, wait, I want to push back on the terminology here just a bit.
Sure.
Because the source text uses phrases like sacred chaos and etheric flow, and now we are bringing in chakras. For anyone listening who is highly analytical, that might sound a bit, you know, mystical.
I get that.
Are we just talking about fluid dynamics and constructive wave interference here?
That is a crucial distinction to make. We are absolutely talking about physics. The terminology might lean poetic, but the underlying mechanism is entirely mechanical.
Okay, so what is etheric flow in purely physical terms?
Etheric flow, in this context, is just a description of an open, unobstructed bioelectrical field. When that 639 hertz frequency is pushed through a 120-degree toroid, it creates a constructive interference pattern.
And human tissue responds to that.
Exactly. Human tissue, which is mostly water, responds to it very efficiently. It acts like a living system, facilitating circulation rather than rigidity.
That makes total sense. Whereas the four-prong tuning fork, with its 90-degree vibrations, creates a linear, grid-like interference pattern.
It is stable, but it's a binary logical framework.
Yeah.
An X and Y axis.
It feels highly technical. And to prove that this isn't just theory, we actually see this exact dynamic, the three-prong engine versus the binary stabilizer built into our own anatomy.
Ah, yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the heart valves research from our stack is the perfect biological mirror for this.
It really is. The human heart is not just a simple mechanical pump.
Not at all. It is an absolute masterpiece of fluid dynamics that relies heavily on triadic geometry.
Let's break down the anatomy for a second, because this is where the theory becomes literal flesh and blood.
Go for it.
So the human heart features three separate valves that have exactly three cusps, or, you know, flaps. You have the tricuspid, the aortic, and the pulmonary valves.
And all three of those feature perfect 120-degree symmetry.
Right.
Each of those three valves acts as a biological nozzle. When blood pushes through that 120-degree opening, it naturally forms a toroidal vortex.
Just like the tuning fork in the water.
Exactly. So you have three distinct spinning toroids of blood. As the fluid flows through the chambers, these three toroids interact, combine, and create what the text identifies as the master toroid.
And the muscle itself supports this, right? The myocardial band theory shows that the heart muscle is literally arranged in a continuous spiral.
Yes, it physically reinforces this swirling toroidal energy field.
That is the engine of our life force. It is the three-prong whirlpool keeping the blood circulating without losing kinetic energy.
But as you know, the heart doesn't just have three valves.
No, it has four.
It has four.
Right. The fourth valve is the mitral valve, located on the left side of the heart. And here is the profound anatomical twist. The mitral valve is a bicuspid valve.
It only has two cusps.
Exactly. It is completely missing that 120-degree symmetry.
It is binary. It operates on a linear opening and closing mechanism.
So what's its job then?
Its primary function is purely to act as a stabilizer. While the three-cusp valves are generating this massive, dynamic, toroidal life force energy, the mitral valve's job is simply to snap shut. It ensures the highly pressurized blood in the left ventricle doesn't flow backward into the lungs.
So it provides the structural stability required for the dynamic system to function without just collapsing on itself.
Exactly. It proves that organic systems use the triadic 120-degree geometry for the actual generation momentum.
Right.
And binary or linear geometries strictly as a stabilizing frame.
Which brings a lot of clarity to the four-prong 90-degree systems we build. Like, they are the scaffolding.
Yeah. You cannot build a skyscraper without 90-degree angles.
No. You can't. And you can't lay down a reliable municipal power grid without a linear framework either. So the tetrahedronic principle is essential for technical measurements and human-made structures.
If you want to anchor something firmly into physical reality, use the crosshairs.
Right. So to be clear, the four-prong isn't wrong or bad. It just has a completely different job description.
Exactly.
But that naturally begs the central question of the source document, you know, the ultimate cosmic causality. Which of these two principles birthed the other, which is the primary code of the universe?
The document is entirely unambiguous about this. It declares the three-prong triadic principle as the primary original cosmic code.
The chicken, essentially.
Yes. The text states, before stability comes movement, before form comes energy, and they back this up with a very elegant mathematical progression of creation.
Let's walk through that progression. I love how it builds from nothing into physical reality.
So you start with the concept of polarity. That is number one, a single point in space. But a single point can't do anything on its own. So you add interaction. That is number two.
Now you have a line connecting two points.
Right. You have a vibration, a frequency between two poles, but a single line cannot enclose space that doesn't create structure.
To get form, to actually create a boundary in the universe, you need a third point.
Exactly. Polarity plus interaction equals form. 1 + 2 = 3.
Wow.
The triangle is the simplest, most foundational, stable polygon in the universe. You need three lines to define an inside and an outside. Therefore, the triadic system is the baseline of reality.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Taking that a step further, the four-prong tetrahedronic principle is entirely derived.
It's an add-on.
Yeah. It is a human-centric evolution. We took the natural trinity, the 120-degree three-point flow of nature, and we literally added a fourth point to it.
We created the square, the cross, the grid.
Right. And we did this to encode the universe, to measure it, and to project it into a highly ordered physical reality.
Think about it. We invented the four cardinal directions to map a globe that is constantly spinning.
We categorize the world into four elements to make sense of matter that is constantly shifting states.
The text uses a brilliant metaphor here. It suggests the three-prong is the heart of the universe, living, breathing, rotating.
And the four-prong is simply the frame humanity built around it so we could grasp it. We build a square box to hold a spinning vortex.
It's a powerful image.
It really is. And that metaphor has massive tangible implications when you look at where human technology is heading right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It is the perfect bridge to the final piece of our source material today, the silicon quantum antenna. This completely blew my mind because it takes all this high-minded philosophy and applies it directly to physical, cutting-edge hardware.
It really forces us to confront the limitations of our tetrahedronic obsession.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the device you're using right now. Modern technology relies almost entirely on square 90-degree grids.
A computer chip under a microscope is just a vast metropolis of right angles.
Standard cellular antennas are linear. We have built an entire technological civilization on the four-prong principle of rigid stability.
Which makes sense for classical computing, right? Because classical computing is entirely binary. It is the mitral valve, ones and zeros, on or off.
Yes.
The 90-degree grid is the perfect house for that kind of logic. But now we are trying to build quantum computers, and the quantum realm does not behave like a grid.
Not at all. Quantum computing relies on qubits. Unlike classical bits, qubits don't just sit at a one or a zero. They exist in a complex, swirling superposition of states.
Aerodynamic.
Extremely dynamic. And the single biggest hurdle preventing quantum computers from becoming mainstream right now is a phenomenon called decoherence.
Okay, so if a qubit in superposition is like a top spinning perfectly on a table, decoherence is essentially when that delicate quantum state shatters because of outside noise, right? Yeah. Like a gust of wind or an earthquake knocking the top over, forcing it to fall flat into a standard one or zero.
That is a great way to visualize it. And the wind and earthquakes in a quantum system are thermal fluctuations, electromagnetic noise, and environmental interference.
Right.
Classical 90-degree grids are terrible at protecting qubits from this noise because rigid grids don't flow with energy. They resist it.
Ah.
When noise hits a rigid structure, the shock waves transfer directly into the system.
Because they are static crosshairs trying to securely hold a spinning vortex, it's just the wrong tool for the job.
Which is why the silicon quantum antenna concept proposes a radical redesign. The researchers suggest abandoning the 90-degree grid entirely and returning to the 120-degree trioral geometry.
The whirlpool.
Exactly. They propose a microscopic three-prong antenna made of highly pure monocrystalline silicon.
Meaning what, exactly?
It means the silicon is grown as a single, continuous crystal lattice, ensuring there are no structural boundaries to interrupt the energy flow.
And the three arms of this monocrystalline antenna are spaced exactly 120 degrees apart.
Correct. When this antenna operates, whether it is resonating mechanically at 84.3 kilohertz or communicating across a network in the gigahertz range, it does not broadcast a standard linear signal.
Because of the 120-degree geometry.
Right. It generates a localized toroidal field, a microscopic vortex of energy.
And that toroidal field acts as a protective shield for the qubit.
Exactly. It wraps the qubit in a continuous harmonizing loop of energy. Instead of trying to lock the delicate quantum state into a rigid 90-degree box that transfers environmental shock, the trioral antenna organically buffers it.
The noise just gets swept up.
Yes, swept up and circulated through the toroid rather than crashing into the qubit. It protects against decoherence by mimicking the fluid dynamics of nature.
It literally stops fighting the environment. By adopting the triadic geometry, our technology stops trying to overwrite the chaotic flow of nature and finally starts speaking the universe's native language.
The implications of that are staggering. The document suggests this 120-degree shift could be the key to unlocking a stable quantum internet. It could lead to quantum computers that operate at room temperature without needing those massive sub-zero cooling systems.
That would change everything.
It would. We would be creating networks that don't just brute force data from point A to point B, but actively harmonize the electromagnetic environment they pass through.
So we have spent thousands of years constructing square frames and grid systems to conquer the physical world. And now, at the absolute cutting edge of quantum physics, science is telling us we need to go back to the whirlpool. We need to return to the triangle.
It is a humbling realization, honestly.
Yeah.
The closer we look at the fundamental fabric of reality, the more we realize we have to align our engineered systems with the cosmic code. The map is incredibly useful, but you cannot let the map become the territory.
Because the map is static and the territory is alive.
Exactly.
That brings everything into focus perfectly. To synthesize this journey for everyone listening, the 120-degree tuning fork we started with is clearly not just an acoustic novelty.
No, not at all.
The shape itself is a physical representation of the universe's primary engine, the toroid. From the swirling fractals in a bowl of water, to the three spinning valves in your own heart, to the monocrystalline silicon antennas protecting the future of the quantum internet, the triadic flow is the baseline of reality.
Well, the 90-degree tetrionic system, the square, the grid, the crosshairs, is simply the map we draw over that reality to navigate it.
We need both.
We do. We need both systems to function as a civilization, but we must remember which one generates life and which one merely contains it.
That leaves us with a profoundly deep question to consider. If human society, architecture, and technology has spent the last few millennia anchored almost exclusively in the static 90-degree tetrionic grid, what happens to human consciousness if we begin redesigning our world around the living, breathing 120-degree triadic toroid?
It's a huge shift.
Right. If our buildings, our networks, and our cities start mimicking the geometry of the human heart, are we on the verge of finally unpausing the universe's natural flow?
It certainly makes you wonder what kind of energy we are capable of harnessing next simply by changing the angle of our approach.
It changes how you look at everything. Keep questioning the shapes and structures of the world around you, and remember, sometimes the answers aren't found in a straight line, but in the center of the whirlpool. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us. Catch you next time.